Thank you. Can you hear me? Thank you, Brother Portman. Can I hear myself? That's the question. Praise God. How many years has Junior Camp been in existence? Okay. I remember when I was just a young boy. Brother and Sister Kasky and my family and Sister Poplowski started the first junior camp. And it was hot and humid. My boys had allergies. I used to call up Sister Poplowski and say, "Hey, good looking, what you got cooking? How's about cooking up something for me?" So, and she never forgot that, but she was the good cook. And we didn't have the facilities we have now. It was pretty basic, but we survived that. And it's been going well ever since, and it's better now than ever before. Praise God. Thank you, choir. I enjoyed the worship tonight. And musicians, thank you so much. It's a real treat for me. Praise God. And thank you for the invitation. You're being brave again. But I'm here. Praise God. This is Father's Day. Father's Day in the morning, Father's Day in the evening, Father's Day all day long. Praise God. And tomorrow is my anniversary. So I'm getting ready. 52. I tell folks the first 50 are the hardest. After that, it's a cool walk in the park. Praise God. You don't have energy to fight. You don't waste your strength holding grudges and being bitter and angry, miserable. You just enjoy life, enjoy each other. Praise God. Thank you for the invitation to be here. From Luke chapter 15 tonight, I'm going to preach this message, the prodigal's father. We hear about the prodigal, but I want to preach on the prodigal's father tonight. Praise God. He's quite a notable character, a very noble man, and I want to share some things with you tonight about the prodigal's father. Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. And he said, "A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living." Say, his living. I used to preach, I think I preached inheritance. He gave the inheritance, but he gave of his living. That's something different. That's like the little widow who gave two mites, which is a farthing, and Jesus said she gave all of her living. It's been a while since I've given all my living. How about you? We have offerings, and we give a token offering, but to give all of your living. Let's pray tonight. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to minister and handle the Word of God. Thank you for this precious congregation and the leadership of this great church. Thank you, Lord. Bless them tonight, we pray. Keep your hand upon them, Lord. Anoint the Word of God. Let it touch our hearts and increase our faith and confidence and trust in you. And we give the glory, the praise, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, praise God. You may be seated. The Schumachers have been a great friend of ours for a number of years, and I've enjoyed getting to know Brother and Sister Portman. They're fine leaders, and I just think you're privileged people to have them for your pastor here. Praise God. Be thankful for them. There are three parables here. One is the lost sheep. One in 100 was lost. And the sheep knew it was lost, but it did not know the way home. I know people today that are lost but don't know the way home. And if they could find a church like this, I think they would come and they would receive the wonderful power of the Holy Ghost. Their lives would be transformed. They would be happier and more productive people. It was incapable of coming home on its own. It was the responsible shepherd that had to find the lost sheep and carry it home. Thankful for shepherds that can carry us home, that can be responsible and accountable for us. The lost coin was 1 in 10. It was lost in the house. It did not know it was lost, and it did not know its way back home. It did not know its way back to its owner. It was incapable of recounting with its owner, reuniting. Responsible women diligently searched till she found the lost coin, and some were going to diligently search until we find them. Praise God. Diligently search. seeking and saving that which is lost. Then the lost son. We were from 1 in 100 down to 1 in 10, now 1 in 2. Two sons. He knew he was lost. He knew the way home. And the father did not seek after the son. We do things differently. When we have a visitor, we have what's called follow-up. And usually one of the first steps is to pay a visit to the visitor, visit them in their home. And then, of course, if that doesn't work, then we send out some mail some information about the church. And then we may give a text message. And then we may leave a voicemail. And then if that doesn't work, we send out the God Squad and make a house call and see, would you seriously consider coming and visiting our church? Praise God. The son had a moral choice and was personally responsible for coming back home. It was his choice to leave, his choice to get the inheritance. He had everything in mind. He was going to take the living and go and spend it on riotous living. He was going to go and have a good time, wine, women, and song, and partying until the sources were gone. The father waited for and gladly received the son when he finally came back home. He was looking and waiting all the time. Our Heavenly Father is doing that for us. He looks and he waits. He waits for us to draw close. He waits for us to join him in prayer. He waits for us to enter his word. He waits for us to finally make a change that we knew we wanted to make for so long but never took the time and energy to do so. He waits patiently for us. The Father's love waits until he was ready to come home. The purpose of the trilogy of parables, Luke 15:1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I'm thinking right now of what an outreach program that was. If you don't associate with sinners, don't eat with them, don't associate with them, and yet you want to reach them with the love of God and the truth of his word today. Praise God. Religious people totally ignore the purpose of religion. I remind you that religious people are the ones that have crucified Jesus Christ. Okay, I don't know if you hear on the radio every now and then, I hear this saying, I heard this one recently. I stopped listening to Christian radio back in college, but I listen to it once in a while. My wife has the stories on. I get a little bit of evangelical message, and they say on there, you can't get the Holy Ghost until you're saved. You got to be saved first and then get the Holy Ghost. One boldly said, you don't have to speak in tongues to go to heaven. Now, when I hear that, my spiritual dander rises. I get righteously indignant. I say, give me the word of God. Give me the truth. Give me what the Bible says. Most people that go to church have no idea what their Bible says. If you give them a Bible study, you don't have to be a master of theology to teach them. Just teach them the word of God, and they will hear things that they have never heard before. Preachers aren't preaching it. They're not taught it in their seminaries. They are taking up the doctrines of the reformers from the Dark Ages back to the restoration of the apostolic message. They're somewhere in there. But I'm so thankful that one day someone shared this truth with me, and I studied this. I really worked on this. I went from honor society in engineering to probation in one semester. Now, that's not easy. You have to really work at that. I ignored my engineering. And I started studying. I wanted to be sure that this was in the Bible. I wanted to be sure that this was true and right, that I had the right interpretation, that I was participating and associating with the right church that was preaching the truth. I love the truth. I want the truth. Tell me the truth, even if it hurts. Tell me the truth. Praise God. Someone said, well, honesty really pays. Well, I found out that honesty sometimes doesn't pay at all. It costs you a lot. And so honesty is a wonderful thing. Truth is a wonderful thing. I want to be true. I want to be true to myself, true to the Word of God, true to our people, true to the Bible today. Praise God. Praise God. Religious people totally ignore the mission. The mission is to seek and to save that which is lost. I don't want some evangelical message. I don't want something that came out of the Reformation. I want something from the Word of God. And, of course, they always quote Ephesians, for by grace you are saved through faith. I tell our people, when you read a scripture, be sure you understand who the writer is. Who is the author? Who's doing the writing? And what's their experience with God? And then secondly, check out the audience. Find out who they're speaking to. If they're speaking to the church at Ephesus, there's a reason it's called the church at Ephesus. It's because they're born again of the water and spirit. And then listen to the subject matter, and it'll help you interpret the word of God and rightly divide the word of truth. Praise God. Father gives us possessions we don't deserve. We heard that tonight, didn't we, Brother Portman? He gives us things we don't deserve. There's not one thing we've done to earn or to deserve what he gives. He gives us a creation. He gives us commandments. He gives us a conscience. He gives us a choice. He gives us Christ's words and Christ's works. He gives us Calvary, salvation, redemption, repentance, remission of sins, and power over sins. He gives all these things, and we didn't deserve any of that. We're here, benefits of his wonderful grace and his love. Praise God. The Father gives sacrificially, abundantly to us of his living. He does. God is not skimpy. God is generous. God is a God of fullness. He's a God of completion. He doesn't give junk. All good gifts come down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good thing. We say God is good. Well, he's good to us, but he's good, period. Whether he's good to you or not, he's good to everybody. God is good, period. And if you get in on the goodness, then you can say and praise God and rejoice and say, God is good to me. Praise God. The Father allows us to claim possessions that are rightfully ours even before it's time to receive them. He gives you some things that you're not even ready to receive yet, but he wants to encourage you and give you things and show his love and encourage you to walk more closely with him. Praise God. And we're prepared to properly use. We're not prepared to use them yet, but he gives us these gifts, and he encourages us in the Holy Ghost. Psalm 106, verse 14, Israel lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted. They tried God in the desert. And he gave them the request, but he sent leanness to them. They asked for quail, and they got quail and ate quail until it came out their noses. I mean, they pigged out on quail. And they had what they wanted. They satisfied the lust of the flesh, but God sent leanness to their soul. Give me the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Don't feed my flesh and satisfy my flesh and all the desires, but give me the Spirit of God and let it bless me and help me and strengthen me. Praise God. The Father didn't try to reason with his son. Have you ever tried to reason with a prodigal son? You can say, they can say to you, listen, you can preach to me, and you can teach me a Bible study, and you can threaten me, and you can condemn me, and you can be mean and ugly to me, you can be forceful, you can force your point, but I'm not coming home. I'm not coming home. He didn't try to argue with his son. I've had a lot of discussions with people. I've spent hours on the phone. When I first came to the church, I spent hours on the phone quoting verses and explaining the meaning of verses. I talked to people whose minds were made up. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. Praise God. Now, if you have advice that's unasked for, let me share this with you. If you have advice that's unasked for, it is simply your opinion. And so we have a lot of advice and people not asking for advice, but if you're interested in learning and you're teachable, you're a learner, and you want to have the truth in your hearts, then you can receive the Word of God. He did not prevent his son from leaving. I'd have had a talk with him. I'd have said, wait, do you realize what you're doing? Come here, son. Do you realize what you're doing? You're going to waste this money. You're going to waste your life. You're going to embarrass the family. You're going to live a life of debauchery. You're going to end up in the pig pen of life. Come on, let's talk about it. Let's think. He did not do that. He didn't do that. We follow up. We pursue. My wife says that you're a phone stalker. You call, and they say, yes, Pastor. Yes, Patrick, thank you for calling, and thank you for praying for me, and we'll be there Sunday. And then they never show up. Praise God. So you're not going to convince them against their will. You've got to have a hunger. You've got to have a hunger. You've got to have a reason. He did not prevent his son from leaving or search for him after he left. Did not send out a search party saying, I wonder how my son is doing. That's hard for us to do. is just to let go and let God and trust God and pray for them and be available for them, but not to force ourselves on them. Praise God. The father was not permissive or uncaring. He understood the son's mind was made up. When your mind's made up, nothing can change it. But wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if we could make up our mind to serve God with the same intensity? The same intensity that we resisted him, now we cooperate with him and we follow him, walk with him. Praise God. A made-up mind is a powerful thing. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Jesus never chased people. I've chased a lot of people. I've worn out my welcome. I've had them tell me not to come back again. Don't call me, don't bother me. Okay? Brother Pugh said it right. Every person has a perfect right to go to hell. And it's your choice. But I've pursued in my zeal, my eagerness, my desire to see them saved, I have worn out my welcome. But I'll tell you what, there are some people that have responded, and that makes it worth it all. The rich young ruler came to Jesus, and Jesus loved him and said, "You lack one thing." Now, I've thought about that scripture. I asked the Lord, if you looked at my life tonight, could you boil it down to me lacking one thing? A dozen, maybe. Two dozen. But can you boil my life down and say, Pastor Lemke, I love you a lot, but you got one problem. You lack one thing. And then he said to him, I want you to sell all that you have, give to the poor. You have treasure in heaven, come follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. And the young man walked away grieved. I would have grabbed him by the shoulder. I'd have grabbed his hand and say, where are we going? Don't you realize who I am? Don't you realize what I'm offering you? Don't you realize that you are walking away from eternal life and the only chance you have of ever living forever? But Jesus didn't chase him. Jesus let him go. Praise God. There's a lesson here we can learn and get a hold of this tonight. It'll help us. Thank you, Lord. He understood that the son had a made-up mind. And tracking him down wouldn't change his mind. Tough love. It's tough love. It's tough love. I'm so thankful when people finally respond. We had a visitor this morning. In fact, we had a family come this morning for the first time in 2 years. Been out with the COVID-19. All their immune systems are very low, very skeptical about contracting something. And today they all showed up, had their mask on, and showed up in service. I was so thankful for that. And he helped celebrate Father's Day with him. Thank you, Lord. This lady came today who had been invited many, many times. And she said, today I'm going to come to service. Today I'm going to come. They're asking me, where are you going? She said, I'm going to church. I said, what? We're going to church, what for? And she said, I'm coming to church. And she came and she was so thrilled, so excited. She wants to get in a Bible study. She wants to come back. She said, this is what I've been looking for. I felt a peace of God here that passes all understanding. And I'm thankful for that. I'm coming back to you. Praise God. So I'm thankful for that. Thank you, Lord. The son gathered all together and journeyed into a far country where he wasted his substance with riotous or ruinous living. Now, prodigal means wasteful, but prodigal also means extravagant. And so this father was not wasteful, but he was very extravagant. The son was wasteful, but the father was not. Our Heavenly Father is not wasteful. He's not wasteful. He's extravagant. He journeyed into a far country. In my mind, I always ask the question, why are our answers always in a far country? Why is it always in a neighboring church? Why is our answer always somewhere else? Why do we have to go so far? We go farther than we plan to go, and we stay there longer than we plan to stay, and it costs us more than we plan to spend. Sin is a terrible thing. It will destroy us. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, tonight. Praise you, God. He spent his money squandering it all. There arose a mighty famine. He began to be in want. That's usually where we end up when we walk away from God. We end up in want. People tell me, we left the church, we left the doctor, we left the service behind, and we're so happy. And I say, with what? Happy over what? I was there for 20-some years. I didn't find it. I'm in the church, and I've watched people walk away from the church today, and they haven't found it. It's not out there. It's in here. It's not out in the world. It's in the church of God. You have a wonderful refuge here where you can find safety in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. He spent all that he had. He began to be in want. Fair weather friends were gone. No money, no fun. When the money's gone, when you don't entertain, so are the friends. The fair weather friends are gone because they're there not for you. They're for your money and what you can give to them. He joined himself to a citizen, a stranger of that country. He became a slave, sent him into the field to feed the swine. Considered one of the most degrading employments of that age. Swine herders completely cut off from society. They were alone. It was an isolated occupation. In Egypt, they could not worship the gods or marry even the lowest of the people. Illustrates the depravity and the depth of misery of sins in their lust and their sins. Swine herders couldn't even marry in Egypt. In Luke 15:16, would fain have eaten the husks, pods of the carob tree that the swine did eat. Slaves sent into the field without feed. Okay, now, if you're satisfied living in the pig pen of life, I'm sure we don't have anyone here tonight in that category, but if you were satisfied living in the pig pen of life, you like the smell of pig manure, and you don't mind hearing the grunting and the groaning and the snorting of the hogs, and you'd rather live there than come to God. You'd rather live that lifestyle than come to the altar and give your heart to God. If you're in that situation tonight and you feel strongly about that, it's going to be one more night with the hogs. One more night with the hogs. But if you're tired of the way you're living, if you're unsatisfied with the way you're living, I came to God because I was tired of sin. Tired of being a sinner and tired of living a sinful life. I was tired of sin. I wanted something new, something free. If you're here hungry and you're looking tonight for a change of life, you can find it in the presence of the Lord. Praise God. If you're ready to give your heart to God, you can come on home. Get out of the hog pen and come on home and get your life cleaned up in the presence of the Lord tonight. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. He came to himself. He was far away from home. It cost him everything, but he finally came. One of the most beautiful things that can happen in your life is when you come to yourself. When you finally wake up and smell the coffee and realize what's happening in your life. You're on a dead-end street. You're on a line of destruction. You're self-destructing a moment at a time. His condition brought him to his senses, and he realized his end, if he continued in his lifestyle, was a dead end. I realized in my life that if I kept going like I was, I wouldn't probably live very long. I wouldn't be around. I wouldn't be here preaching. I wouldn't be in the church. I wouldn't be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I decided that I was done killing myself, and I was going to try to live for God with the power of his Spirit today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your redemption. Thank you for your wonderful deliverance tonight. Praise God. He remembered and compared the present with the past. Hired servants were better than slavery. His father's servants were eating better than he was. I will go to my father. I will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And it became a God thing. He was not blaming himself. He was repenting before God and before his father. He realized there was something better than what he has. That's why I love the church. This is better than the world. It's better than what the world can offer. It's better than what the world can give us today. It's a wonderful thing. And in these last days, I told our church, the greatest enemy of this church are going to be religious people. Your religious community are going to be rise up. They despise the message now. They always have. They've always condemned it, called it heretic. I was told when I first got the Holy Ghost that I was full of the devil. They don't love this message any more than the Pharisees love Jesus Christ. And they're going to be the chief enemies of this truth. And so we're going to have to know what we believe and why. Love the truth and sell it not. Praise God. We've got a wonderful thing going and a wonderful truth, and I want to hang on to that with all my life tonight. Praise God. I'm still determined to believe this truth no matter what. If it's good enough to live by, it's also good enough to die by. And if you're afraid of death tonight, you're in trouble, because we're all going to die one day. It's appointed unto man wants to die and then the judgment. But if you're full of the Holy Ghost tonight, I tell the Lord, I am yours. I am property of the Holy Ghost. And if you need me and want to use me, then you have to keep me healthy and strong. Give me a good mind, sound mobility, ability tonight. muscle coordination and mobility. You've got to give me these things so that I can do a work for you. Praise the Lord. Praise God. When he got to his father's house, he said, I'm no worthy to be called thy son. He said, make me as one of thy hired hands. He went from give me, from demanding to make me. Praise God. And that's where we need to be tonight. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like thee. Praise God. Make me into a servant of God. True repentance is a confession of sin, a genuine sorrow, a humility because of sin, and a repentance, a change of mind, will, and emotion. Praise God. Praise God. I had the experience in Appleton of a young man who was a shipmate of mine. I witnessed him. He received the Holy Ghost in San Diego. When he came home, something got in his heart, and he had animosity toward me. And I passed him for a number of years. And I was up in Canada in Metro Missions. I got a call one day from this man. He said he was on the phone. He was weeping. And he said, I am so sorry for the way I treated you. A good way to find out whether people are repenting is if they repent. And if they repent, they'll let you know. They'll be the first to let you know. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he arose and came to his father. He came home. It's a wonderful thing to come home. I'm so thankful that we have a home to come back to and that there's a father that's waiting. And he is a wonderful father. I'm so thankful for the way the Lord has treated us in our life. Praise God. The father in Luke 15:20, but when he was yet a great way off, the father saw him and had compassion and saw and fell on his neck and kissed him. He had been looking for his son. There's something in this for us. Keep on looking. Don't give up. You have lost loved ones. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't stop praying. Don't stop reaching out. Keep the fires of home going. Keep the home atmosphere the same so that when they come home, they can respond to you in that light. Praise God. 10 things the father did, he saw him a great way off. That means he was looking. He didn't go after him. He didn't prevent him from leaving, but he was looking for him. That's where we are tonight as a church. We are looking for people, searching, seeking and searching for the lost, trying to find someone who will listen, someone who's interested in God. Thank you, Lord. He had compassion on him. No lectures. No chewing him out, no rebuking him, no telling him what a fool he'd been, how he had wasted life. He had compassion on him. His heart was in a mode to receive him, and so he did. Praise God. He saw and fell. He saw him and fell on his neck, and he kissed him. Okay, he ran to meet him and welcome him home. The Lord is doing that tonight. He is a father who is ready to welcome us home. We talk about us pleasing the Lord, but the Lord wants to please us. He wants to please us and help us in our wake with him. Praise you, Lord. He heard his confession and forgave him. He forgave him. There are times I have to ask myself, have I really forgiven? Have I really released people? Have I really released a situation? But this father did, and he forgave him. Thank you. He didn't probe. He didn't lecture. He knew the son had changed. If he had not changed, he wouldn't come home. You can tell when someone repents. It's a beautiful thing when someone repents. They don't argue. They don't fuss. They don't want to debate. They don't want to show you how smart they are in the Bible and show you what a fine Christian. They come and they say, I'm lost. I'm lost. I need help. I need you to come and help me and help direct me home. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Put on the best robe of honor and dignity. Our extravagant, lavish, prodigal father. He felt the son was worthwhile. He put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and these were signs of royalty. He treated his son royally. Praise God. Praise God. Give me that kind of a spirit that I can forgive and that I can restore, that I can look beyond the fault and see the need and honor the repentance and be compassionate and kind. Praise you, God. He made a great feast to kill the wheat-fatted calf. It was a fatted calf because he had been feeding this calf, waiting for the son to come home. And when he came home, he finally had a celebration. And he took the calf that was reserved for him and his return, and he celebrated. He began to rejoice and to be merry. Praise God. Luke 15:24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found. Alive to things of the Spirit, he found himself. He found his God. He found his Father. He saw everything from a different perspective. He was alive to spiritual things and dead to the world. It's a wonderful thing. I'm so thankful tonight that we have a prodigal father. He's waiting. He's patient. He's waiting for you to make up your mind. He's not going to force you, not going to coerce you, not going to threaten you. He gives you a choice. He's not going to chase after you and try to convince you or persuade you, but he's waiting for you tonight as we stand. He's waiting for you to come. Let's stand tonight. He's waiting for you to come. If you're in this house tonight and you need to come, you need to come on home. You've been far away in your thought life, in your lifestyle. It's time for you to come to yourself and realize what you have available here in the house of God and what the prodigal father is able to do for you. He wants to lavish you with riches. Giving hath not impoverished him. He's willing to share his blessings and good things with you. Praise God. Praise God. Are you glad tonight you have the Holy Ghost? Glad you're saved tonight? I'm thankful I've got a wonderful father. And the prodigal father challenges all of us fathers. Help us to be like the prodigal father. Help us to be like our father. And in our forgiveness, and our compassion, and our kindness, in our steadfastness tonight. Praise the Lord. May the word bless your heart tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name.